Father, we bow before you knowing that without your anointing, this will just be a word. But with your anointing, it will break yokes. And your holiness will be established in a deeper level within us because of your great glory and love. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take you to John chapter 14. And I will be using the Amplified because of the press this morning to actually look at the NIV, but to go a little deeper. In the NIV, it says, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit as a heading before verse 15, which is where we're going to be starting this. John chapter 14 is a powerful word. But I want to take you to verse 31, part B. Because it should be a goal for all of us. In the NIV, part B says, I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. In the Amplified, it says, I do only what the Father has instructed me to do. I act in full agreement with his orders. Got it? I act in full agreement with his orders, not with your opinion. See, if you have the mind of Christ, you're going to be operating under the anointing of the Holy One of Israel, which is your Heavenly Father within you, which is what we're going to be touching on. Again, the Amplified, verse 15. If you really love me, you will keep, obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. You know, the Holy Spirit was designed by God to raise hell out of you. Did you hear me? The Holy Spirit was designed by God to raise hell out of you. He'll raise it up so you can see it. And when the spotlight's on it, you'll have the energy and the power to get it rid of it. But if you can't see it, you're going to think you're free. So the first of it, it's designed to let you see yourself, not to defend yourself, but to see yourself and see how much of him is missing in your everyday walk. I got a phone call this week. Somebody from Canada. I've been working with this person for about 20 years, off and on. And this person said, how long have you known all this junk that's sitting inside me? And I kind of reflected because I didn't want to disappoint. I said, how much have you seen? Well, I just realized I got all this manure inside of me and I keep spraying it around. I said, well, if you've finally seen it, did you ask the Holy Spirit to get rid of it? Oh, I didn't know I could. She says, I can't stand what I'm seeing. I said, that's good. That's the beginning of wisdom. See, if you excuse all the things you've got in you as a normal thing of God, you're going to think that it's the Lord that's using you to correct everyone else. And it's designed to correct you. And to get you to bow your knee to him. Verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him, nor know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him. And he lives with you constantly and will be in you, will be in his word. But you and I have already received that word. The Holy Spirit has already come in us. We're not waiting for him. He's already here. He's inside of us. When he was reading, when Jesus was speaking this word, he was speaking it prior to the book of Acts. We already have received the book of Acts. Verse 18, I will not leave you orphan, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, or forlorn, or helpless, and I will come back to you. Just a little while now, and the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. Is it possible for you to see the Lord? Yes, if you knock on his door. Will the world see him? No. Not time yet. But eventually, they will see him in you. It will raise some persecution. How many have had a little bit of persecution? Thank you. How many of you had a little bit of condemnation this week? Put your hand way up. All right. Listen to me now. If you had no light, would you be irritating the darkness? Thank you. So this is a confirming word to you. What you are doing is you are growing up. You're maturing. You may not like the process. When I was a boy, my father would threaten me with a trip to the woodshed. He never took me there once. But it was a threat. Why? Why? Why would he do that? To awaken me that there were things that I was doing wrong. And he loved me enough to let me know that he was courageous enough to correct it. Verse 20. At that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. You're not waiting anymore. He's already inside of us. Now, when I say this with respect. When I first started to come to the Lord, he came in a seed form. And I'll be honest with you, I kept control. Many years later, he showed me that I had put myself in the driver's seat and I put him in the trunk. And I was doing my own thing. He asked me if I would be willing to open the trunk and let him back into the driver's seat and let him have the wheel. And a few weeks later, somebody had a vision. And they had a vision of my car. I was in the passenger seat. The wheel was moving, but there was nobody visible in the driver's seat. To confirm. But they didn't know about my prayer. But the Holy Ghost was tattling on me. Close your eyes for a moment. You see, there are times that the word of knowledge that will come out of my mouth or somebody else's mouth will confirm to you, he knows your struggle better than you know. He knows the hurt in you better than you know about your own hurts. And he's trying so hard to get you free. That's why he's purposed to love you enough to give you the truth. Do I get an amen? Verse 21, the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show and reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Now I'm going to take you back about 20-something years. The first time I heard that message was at Mount Marie at a convention. And this gentleman was preaching. He was from Washington State. And he drove me nuts. So I know I'm about to drive you a little bit up a tree. Hopefully it's Calvary's tree. And you'll crucify your unbelief. And he began to dwell on that particular scripture and others like it, where Jesus wants to reveal himself to you now and manifest to you. Not for the world, but to you. And there are multiples of ways where he's shown me that he could manifest his ways, himself, to me, and I would understand what he's trying to do. There would be comprehension. There would be understanding. But it would come at a cost. You know what it would cost? My selfish ways. My selfish attitude. It would cost all the things I thought I knew about God. And he kicked me hard enough that I cried out for it. And then he did show me himself. I'm trying to give you an understanding that if he wrote it down, it's because it's important. And he wants you to see yourself. That's the cost of crucifixion. Judas, not Iscariot, asked him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself, make yourself real to us and not to the world?" That's a great question, isn't it? Now watch the response. Jesus answered, "If a person really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, abode, special dwelling place with him." See, you cannot run away from the one who said yes to the cross. That lamb was offered up, but it cost the Father his heart. My little great-granddaughter, with her report on that phone last night, confirmed your music, girl. I didn't put those things together, you did, by his Spirit. See, there is so much unbelief in us that still tries to control the way we are and the way we go forward with our attitude. And yes, your attitude will determine your altitude. It will always. It doesn't change. 24. "Anyone who does not really love me does not observe and obey my teachings, and the teachings which you hear and heed is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me." So he's saying to you, my Spirit is going to teach you what my Father has revealed. Verse 25, "I have told you these things while I am still with you." Verse 26, "But the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Strengthener, the Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me." How much clearer do you want it? The Holy Spirit will represent who? Jesus. And act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. So even if you can't read, and you've got ears to hear, the gospel will be repeated to you in a way to understand it by the Holy Ghost from within you. It's going to get clarity when you ask him, not when you tell him what he should be doing. See, if you're in the driver's seat, you're going to tell him what to do, when to do it. But if he's in the driver's seat and you're in the passenger seat, he's going to take you where he wants you to go. And he'll confirm himself to you. And yes, you're going to be dying because you're going to be on that cross being stretched out. And you won't like it. Welcome to the club. It's called the Die Now Club. Die to your attitude. Die to your mental assent that you have all the rights in the world to be treated so special. See, it's not correct. It's off center. Jesus is your pattern son. Did he get crucified? So will you. You say, oh my God, that's not what I bargained for. Well, you know what? I didn't bargain for it either, but I'm telling you up front, it's the only way to go because you won't get maturity otherwise. Some people sign the dotted line. Oh, I was baptized such and such a date. Oh, I received the Holy Ghost such and such a date. And then they decide to sleep for the next 20 years or 30 years or 50 years. I'm all happy because I got him. If Jesus would have done that, he would have never been the Lamb. All right? And so we expect to be living without a problem. I wish it was true. You know, he is going to make sure that you are maturing. Because his love says, I want you to be changed. Like I changed everyone else. Look at Peter. I mean, if you've got an example of somebody that's stubborn and righteous in his own eyes, you look at Peter. But did Jesus give up on him? No way. Thomas wasn't much better. Judas became a hopeless case. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated. Whoops! Who did he leave in control? You! Say, look at your neighbor. Right now, look at your neighbor. Say, you can stop it. You can stop the agitation. If you want to. Because Jesus is telling you that you can do all things through him who strengthens you. Amen? Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. And do not commit yourself to be fearful, intimidated, and cowardly and unsettled. Who's in control of this? You are. He gave you that ability. You see how? By the Holy Ghost. Find a better solution. Knock on his door. Holy Spirit, you're a counselor. You're a comforter. I want information. I told my wife the other day, I says, you know what? I'd love to go backwards in one area. She says, what's that? I'd like to have the operators on my telephone like it used to be when I was a kid.
We could talk to somebody.
Oh, man. It was so easy. Yeah. Now, you got to dial all these cotton-picking numbers.
Yeah. And recording.
And machines. Okay. Guess who's still personal? The Holy Spirit is personal. He's right inside of you. He'll give you responses. He'll give you a plan of action to overcome. How many have at least one person that's really an irritation in their lives? Welcome to the club. At least one. Okay? At least one. You see why? Because God is saying, I'm going to be with you in this. I'm not against you. I want you to win. But it won't be won with words of responses and tearing down and ripping people apart. It's when you and I humble ourselves, we get everything we need. But a new strategy will come from him, not from me. Okay? Stop. I'm going to repeat that part because it's very important. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What is your heart? It's your mind, will, and emotions. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
If it's my mind, will, and emotions that I don't allow to be agitated, then I can rest with him and let his plan unfold. Go back to verse 31. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father and that I do only what the Father has instructed me to do. I act in full agreement with my emotions, feeling just horrible every day. Whoops, I think I goofed. I act in full agreement with the orders, or his instructions. Rise. How do they rise? Then he goes on to go somewhere else. I believe that word rise is, it brings you an awareness of a strategy to overcome. And he's going to have a house full of overcomers. Amen. Say it. He's going to have a house full of overcomers. This house.
This house
is going to be an overcoming house.
It's going to be an overcoming house.
And I will have victory.
And I will have victory.
And the old attitude will die.
The old attitude will die.
In time.
In time.
God's plan will unfold.
God's plan will unfold.
Because he wants a mature church.
He wants a mature church.
A mature bride.
A mature bride.
Ready for a wedding.
Ready